Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters, to Geek Watch 1. And hey, this is 2 weeks into the new season. We missed it last week somehow. Last week was our 350th episode.
Yes, it was.
350?
We've been here for a minute.
Just a little.
A couple weeks is even the bigger milestone for us, so. And you know what, Kylan? What was our what was your goal when we first started this? We were going to beat the Nerdist? Or no,
yeah,
was it the Nerdist?
Nerdist?
Well, they've been done running for a while.
Yeah, I don't know how many episodes they got up to. We should check.
I think it was 500-something. But they were doing multiple episodes a week.
That's true.
That's a lot.
That was cheating.
But still, you got to think, if we continue with this at 52 weeks a year, which we usually end up getting, what, about 48 or so episodes a year, we're going to catch them in the 2 to 3 years.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot longer than this is going, I think. It's too long.
I don't know. We've been at this 8 years. It's good. I don't know where it's going to end up at. But how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Good.
Cool. Vicky and I actually had some fun yesterday a little bit. Well, we recorded it a while ago. We actually, I don't know. Did you guys see on Facebook the post I put up last night?
I saw something on some YouTube post.
Yeah, Vicky and I have started a YouTube channel now because she wants with her art and all that stuff. She wants to do maker videos as she's doing things, but also we have fun sometimes. Like just like you guys, you get something really cool. You want to open up the box and show everybody what you're doing. So we did an unboxing video. Well, kind of an unshelling video. You ever see those Smashers eggs that you can get for kids? Giant egg that you smash. It's got a bunch of stuff inside of it. Dinosaur parts and things.
No.
You should see this because it's a Smashers, and what it is each of the bags inside, it's this giant egg that you smash, and then it's got a bunch of little baggies inside. Each one has a part of a dinosaur that you can put together, but they're all inside of different mediums. One of them was full of the old school slime. One of them had the floam type stuff that had dinosaur parts in it. Another one had the kinetic sand. And then there's a bunch of little eggs that had kind of like pencil topper things in them. So it was fun. But so Vicky did an unboxing video for that. Also, as of yesterday, remember we ordered the Avatar The Last Airbender role-playing game.
Right.
Well, my box showed up yesterday. So I did an unboxing for that. That's not up yet, but it's going to be coming. But anybody who wants to check them out, it's a brand new channel, and it's not easy to find because there's only 2 subscriptions and 1 video on it. So it's, you know, the way YouTube works. But it's the Fire Rose Media is the channel.
Okay,
cool.
And we found out that it's hard to get Fire Rose or Fire Rose Studios anywhere near that because I guess some country star has some girlfriend that's now named Fire Rose or something like that. So it's everything anytime you put Fire Rose in, you automatically go to her.
Right.
But as we put more videos up, hopefully it'll show up better in the analytics. But for now, if you check my Facebook page for Ken Rose or in Vicky's, Victoria Rose's Facebook page, we have a link on there for the video if you want to check it out and see what it's like.
Right. Cool.
But yeah, that was fun. And that's going to be fun as we go. So what have you guys been up to?
What have we been up to? I mean,
that's my answer usually.
Yeah.
Well, I know that
this week was a relatively chill week. I mean, in terms of doing a lot of, like, I don't know, geeky stuff or whatever, but
semi-geeky.
I mean, I went and got a new tattoo that was geeky. But
I saw that. That is beautiful.
Thanks.
Did you put that up on our Facebook page too?
I did not, but I will.
Yeah, you need to put that up on our Facebook page. That was beautiful. My compliments
you're
to the artist too.
Celebrity.
I'm apparently a celebrity, yeah. Like, she put it on her page. She shared it on the Tattoo Lovers page.
Right.
She shared it. She made a TikTok of it using the song Never Ending Story.
Try to find that song somewhere. Like, the soundtrack isn't available. That song is the only thing you can find.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, I mean, the rest of the soundtrack is basically score. So that was kind of like the only song that's in the movie.
Oh, Lamal.
But Lamal kind of went nowhere after that. But yeah, for those who are interested, I got a tattoo of Falcor, the dragon from Neverending Story, because he's always been one of my favorite creatures, fantasy creatures. I've read the book a couple times. I love the movie since I was a kid, all that kind of good stuff. So
I need to check out the book, because I've heard there's a major differences between the book and the movie. I mean, they're both supposed to be good, but...
And the book is really cool, because much like the movie, there's the real world and fantasy world split. Like, the book itself is printed in two colors of text, so you can tell when you're in real world versus fantasy world.
Yeah.
So it's a very good read. Yeah, and shout out to Ash Wheeler at Studio Vitruvius in Worcester. She's the one who did my tattoo. She has a very particular style. If you look her up, it's very brightly colored, candy colors. And it's all, she does all her own stuff from scratch. It took her hours and hours to actually design this one. So I'm hugely appreciative. I did it in one sitting, 4 hours. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love it, and I will share the picture on our page.
Oh yeah. Well, I heard about the two color ink and stuff because I've talked about it on here. Dan Larson has the Toy Galaxy channel or Secret Galaxy on YouTube, where he does videos of really old, and he actually did a video all about the Neverending Story.
Yep.
And how they made it, and how it was actually, it's not an American movie. Everybody assumes it's an American movie when you watch it, because it looks like it's American. No, it's a German movie.
Right.
And the production studio in Germany, post-pandemic, I'm not positive about this, but I know pre-pandemic, they were open for tours. And one of the parts of the tour is actually the animatronic Falcor that you can actually get on top of and ride.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, didn't they at one point actually have an amusement park in Germany that was like revolved around the Neverending Story or something like that? Or had a Neverending Story land or something?
I think it was more of a land, and I think that's kind of what this production tour became.
Ah, okay.
But like that, I'll admit the movie does not hold up incredibly well because of the fact that it's animatronic effects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little more noticeable these days.
Right.
When things are slightly out of sync or a little bit, you know, shaky or something. Yeah. But story-wise and overall, it does hold up.
Oh, yeah. Well, also the fact that the movie is way shorter than you think it is.
Yes, it is not a long movie.
Yeah, but actually what was done really well, I think, was what was it, early 2000s, Hallmark did a like a Neverending Story miniseries or something like that. That I thought was done actually pretty well. I've not gone back and seen it since then, but I enjoyed it when I saw it.
Hallmark?
It was Hallmark, I think, that put it out originally. Either that or Sci-Fi.
It was, because Hallmark had a bunch of like fairy tale style movies they did for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have the DVDs of it.
So yeah, there were a few, but I haven't gone back on that one.
No.
but was it the same quality as Recipe for Seduction?
Nothing is the quality of Recipe for Seduction.
That's what I want to know.
For anyone wondering, that is the very short film involving the love story of Colonel Sanders, played by Mario Lopez, that came out a couple years ago.
Ah, I still have to see that.
It's like, what, 15 minutes?
It's like 15 minutes.
It's probably up on YouTube, isn't it?
Oh, it's got to be on YouTube.
No,
or the KFC channel. KFC probably has a channel on YouTube.
It's actually on another video channel. It's not YouTube. I looked it up.
Probably like Vimeo.
I was going to post it.
You were going to post
it? I was going to post it on my Facebook page, but Don talked me out of it.
Yeah. It's a good thing I talked you out of it.
Wait. Do it. With all the other stuff he posts, that's the one you're going to try to talk him out of?
Right. Well, I mean, I try and talk him out of other things. He still posts them. So that one he didn't still post.
What? Look.
Okay.
What? I'm just saying, I said what I said last week, and I don't feel bad about it.
Anyways, another thing.
Oh, but I got my tattoos re-inked. There is another tattoo that I want, but I'm not ready for it yet.
Yeah, see, this was our Christmas present to ourselves. We decided this past Christmas we weren't going to bother spending much money, and we would just go out and do tattoo things. So that's this is why it came right now, as opposed to waiting a little later in the year or something like that.
Well,
so,
also, you guys, you're always trying to remember, especially as couples, you're trying to remember, okay, what are we going to get? We have everything we want at the house. What am I going to get that's going to last? Right. And not just like, here, I'm going to get you the Hillshire Farms collection of summer sausages. What? No.
Although, was it last year?
Last year,
Kylan got me a big box of cheesy goodness from Grandpa's Cheese Barn. And he did not regret that because I love cheese. So
yeah, Don,
that is not a bad gift for someone who
Don
loves cheese.
Love it. And I love Grandpa's Cheese
and
Barn.
I love Grandpa's Cheese Barn.
Yeah. So that was hard though. It was hard because they have so many, the selection is so varied.
Yeah. You have to get the cheeses right. That's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. But it's cool because a lot, it was all local, you know,
yeah.
It's local,
you know,
stuff.
So it was shopping
so,
local. So, mm-hmm. so yeah. But yeah, like you said, like at Christmas, we're just kind of like, well, we'd buy this for ourselves anyway. So mm-hmm. like, what can we buy each other that we wouldn't just buy for ourselves? So
exactly.
we try to usually put limits on things like, okay, no books, no, you know, no games, no this, that, like things that we would buy anyway. Although I did get Kylan a couple of books for Christmas because he didn't know they existed.
Ah,
yeah. So,
it's geek related. They were Marvel collections of the original runs of Captain America and Black Panther.
All right. You remember how back in the, and they, I don't even know they're even doing, well, obviously they're doing it now, but back in the 70s and early 80s, a lot of times Marvel or DC would put out these giant bound collections.
Yeah,
like they did with Star Wars.
It was early omnibuses.
And, yeah, yeah. So it was like the hardcover.
Yeah, the big hardcover.
Next. Yeah, so that's what this was. And I didn't even know that these books were out there. So.
And honestly, they can get pricey, but Amazon had a couple of amazing deals right nice. Before Christmas. So well, that's why it happened.
At the I think it was just after Christmas, I bought myself a Christmas gift. And it was my comic shop over Kenmore had, he always has his table of clearance stuff that people have dropped off collections, and it's stuff that either he already had on the shelf or stuff that's not going to probably move much. He had right. on there. I didn't even know it existed because I have some of the other novelizations, but it was the Crisis on Infinite Earths novelization written by Marv Wolfman.
Oh, nice.
Oh, good.
And it was like $5.
Right.
Hardcover.
There's always a $5 table.
Exactly.
I that too.
But it was in hardcover, but his stuff on his clearance table, usually it's 70% off of the original cover price.
Ah, right. Mm-hmm. Cool.
So yeah, that was amazing. I've seen some stuff on there that I'm thinking, Well, I've asked you, Kylan, a couple times on things. Hey, you got this yet?
You get to your local comic shop, people. Go for the deals, even if you don't want any of the new stuff.
That's right.
I did watch the first couple episodes that are available on HBO Max of Velma.
Okay. I've heard some very, very mixed reviews on that.
If you're a big fan of Scooby-Doo, don't watch it.
That's what it looks like from the trailers, too. That's one of the reasons I haven't watched it yet, because I looked at it as like, wait, if they're already calling Shaggy Norbit for the whole thing, forget it. No, that's not.
Well, it is in high school. So, like, it's the origin story. So yeah. You're not going to get characters you expect anyway, but these are, like, way off the characters you expect. Like, Norville is, he not only is not very Shaggy-like in his mannerisms and such yet, he also is anti-drug. So I'm hoping if I were to continue watching this, by the end of at least the first season, he takes his first hit, because something's got to give.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, everybody talks about that now, but if you actually watch Scooby-Doo from the beginning through now, there's technically no drugs in it.
No, there never is. There's a lot of Scooby snacks.
Yes.
Right.
And of course, Scooby's not actually in this, but I read through a lot of the critiques of it, and a lot of them seem to be from like the hardcore Scooby-Doo fans or like the ones about the nostalgia, and they're the ones complaining the most.
Yeah.
However, I have to say it's not a great show. Like, it's not laugh out loud funny. It is definitely adult, both the situations, the language. There's cartoon nudity. There's cartoon blood and violence. There are legit murders involved that Velma is trying to solve. Fred is even more of an idiot than he is in the original Scooby-Doo. Like, he is essentially a spoiled child, even though he's in high school. Like, he gets served his meal and he says, "Cutties," because he wants the butler to cut the steak up for him.
Wait. Where did they come off with him being rich?
Well, the ascot and everything.
Okay.
Yeah, the ascot makes him rich.
But in the later stuff, you find out that Norval was the rich one.
Right.
That or Daphne. But Daphne supposedly was, I mean, Daphne Blake. Daphne, I mean, come was, on. How is that not a rich kid name?
Daphne's supposed to be the rich kid. In this, Daphne's not really rich kid. Definitely middle to upper middle class, though. Mm. Velma's the poorer one, even though her dad's a lawyer. He doesn't make a lot of money. And her mom's gone missing. That's part of where the mystery starts in this. But okay. There are murders at the high school. I mean, I might continue watching it just for the sake of seeing what they do with it. But it's not... Don't watch this if you want Scooby-Doo. That's all there is to it. Yeah. Like, don't... Just go into it wanting, like, an adult cartoon kind of thing. Just See? Don't think Scooby-Doo. Because they're going to look different anyway.
Right.
Yeah. They sound different. They're acting different. So...
If you wanted a really more adult version of Scooby-Doo at all, I would say check out Scooby Apocalypse from DC Comics.
Yes.
When they did the Hanna-Barbera Beyond, I think is what they called it, and aged up some of the characters. Some of that worked really, really well. Some of it, not so much. Because they did Flintstones, Scooby-Doo.
Hong Kong Phooey?
No, they didn't do Hong Kong Phooey on that one. They did, I think, there was the...
Hagglepuss.
That was Nightwing and Hong Kong Phooey.
That was a crossover. No, they did a series of crossovers.
You're talking about the series. Oh, these were the,
Johnny Quest was the other one. It wasn't called Johnny Quest, but it was a Johnny Quest cartoon.
The ones that worked best were Scooby Apocalypse and Snagglepuss.
Yeah.
Right.
Snagglepuss actually got awards on the critical level for the storytelling in that, because it was a lot about the Stonewall riots because of where they put Snagglepuss.
Yeah, right.
It was very serious compared to like what you expected of a cartoon based.
Right.
Yeah, the Flintstones had a good idea. It was too much social justice, I think, in it. It's too on the nose.
Scooby Apocalypse was good though. Like, it was basically like zombie apocalypse kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, and they actually seemed a little more real in the comic.
Yeah.
Not silly like they get on the show.
So basically, if you want to check out some more the adult versions of your old Hanna-Barbera cartoons, look up the Hanna-Barbera Beyond, I think is what they called it. DC Comics did it about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, they're all in collections now, and so Velma, it's weekly on HBO Max because that's how they do their new shows. Yeah. So it's not all at once, but you could catch the first two episodes now.
And I saw, that reminds me, you said weekly on HBO Max, tonight. Now we've been seeing commercials for 6 months, like daily, The Last of Us starts tonight.
Yes, it does.
Right.
That looks a little, it looks like your post-apocalyptic type thing, but I don't know. Is this zombies? I've never played the game. Is it zombies or what is it?
Monsters.
It's monsters. It's not zombies, but it's almost like a zombie thing. Like there's something that has infected. It's people turning into monsters, I think,
right.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
There's something that has infected them. And The Last of Us basically applies to the characters they're focused on. And even from the ads, the trailers, you can tell it's a lot of it is about the girl and protecting her, because there's something about her that gives her an immunity to turning into these monsters.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You see that in the trailers and stuff.
Yeah. So it's kind of a common story amongst a lot of the apocalyptic kind of monstery things that you see. The game is much loved for the relationships and the drama of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of people who have played, a lot of the critics and stuff who have played the game, know the game and have already watched the first couple episodes like this.
Okay.
They like the show. So, I mean, we'll probably give it a try, but I don't know either way.
I want to know.
Yeah. I mean, I have the game. I haven't played it yet. But I mean,
it's supposed to be a good storyline.
Yeah, I heard it's like basically a really good story.
I want to know how much it's going to compare to like Walking Dead, because it's a similar concept that everybody's dead. You've got a couple people trying to survive. It's the same thing that we've had for 50 years in a post-apocalyptic sci-fi.
Right. And I mean, the thing is, I think it's not just that they're trying to survive, that he's trying to get her to a certain place.
Right.
Like Walking Dead. Kind of the only reason they were moving around, well, at first it was trying to get to the CDC,
right,
to see if there was, you know, a disease issue, and then they were just trying to get somewhere safe and stay there.
Right.
So this, I think it's going to be a constantly moving thing. I don't know that they're going to be staying in a spot, but
now that Walking Dead's over, did they ever figure out what it is that caused it?
No, he said he'd never say.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And actually, I think it's, what is it? Fear the Walking Dead. I think that's ending next year.
Yeah.
Like in Fear the Walking Dead, you see the very beginning of it, and all you know is that basically it's almost like people are getting something like the flu, but it was killing
them.
But you never know.
Really explained how that started anyway. No. Like, just saying it's a virus doesn't really explain.
No. Yeah. I think it came from the military.
There were military connections throughout. Like, you'd see that helicopter showing up and things like that, but they never,
Right.
The only other new thing that I watched this week was the movie The Menu.
Okay.
Because it's on HBO Max, and I was on there anyways for Velma, so I'm like, let's watch The Menu now.
That sounds familiar. What is it?
This is the one with Ralph Fiennes as a chef.
Ah, yes.
And what's her name? Anna Joy Taylor and Nicholas Howe and John Leguizamo. And in a small role, Judith Light. She's part of a couple that's there. Wow. But basically, it's described as a horror satire or satire horror, whatever you want to consider it.
Okay.
And I would definitely say it's more dark satire, not satire horror. Because quite honestly, there's more blood and violence in your typical action movie. Like, you watch Deadpool, you get more blood and violence than in this movie.
Okay.
The horror is from the tension and from at one point they basically tell you how it's going to end. A couple of the characters tell you how it's going to end, and yet you don't know how it's getting there and if it's really going to end that way. So that's kind of the horror of, it's almost like a locked room horror because they don't let the guests leave. And things are happening and it's on a secluded island and it's all these ultra rich people and an exclusive menu, an exclusive dining experience that's been done many times before.
Are they dining on each other?
They do not eat each other.
Oh.
That's what the trailer makes you think. It's not a spoiler to say there's no cannibalism involved, but the trailer makes you think they're going to get hunted and eaten.
Right.
The most dangerous game brought to its logical conclusion that the book never went.
Exactly. Like, things happen in interesting ways. And I'll tell you, the first 20 minutes of this movie, I almost turned it off. Because they're so good with these characters of making them so incredibly cringy, unlikable, pretentious people.
Right.
Because they're all so rich and they're all so entitled. And just the way they talk about things, like you have this older couple who's done this a few times, so you don't hear a lot from them. Then you have these bros who are like super rich working corporate stuff. Then you have the old actor, and this is the role that John Leguizamo modeled on Steven Seagal. Knowing that going in makes it so much better. He is so full of himself. He name drops, and then at one point in the movie, he has to admit he doesn't know certain people. It's awesome. like everyone gets taken down more than a peg in this whole thing. And then you have a very well-known restaurant critic and magazine editor.
Mm-hmm.
And they are probably the worst. The way they talk about the food as it comes out is the sort of thing makes you want to smack people. Like, just the whole, like, is this, he's doing this. This is like theater. And this, like, oh my God, shut the hell up and just eat your damn food. Like, it's just... And then you have the main people you're focused on is the Anna Joy Taylor and Nick Howe. And he's brought her there. She doesn't really care about going there, but they're on a date. And he is paying for it, like massively expensive, like I said. He's paying for it, and they're there on a date. And he is obsessed with this chef and his food. So he's always wanted to try his food.
Mm-hmm.
So there comes points in the movie where these crazy things are going on in the same room as him, 10 feet away, and he is concentrated on the food and eating his what's in front of him because he's so into it. Like, it's just freaky. But yeah, things happen. People have to admit who they really are, in a sense. And let's just say by the end, there's just desserts in many ways. And you'll never look at s'mores the same way again. But I'll tell Kylan when we're off the air so that I don't spoil it for you guys, because I know he won't
watch it. I'm not going to watch it.
If you're going into this looking for a horror movie or like, no, you're not going to get it. This is definitely dark satire. I actually put this on Facebook because I'm like, I don't even know if I liked it. Like, by the end of it, I'm like, I got through it, and I wanted to get through it because they kept doing things that made you think, like, is anyone getting out of this? Like, it made you think this all the way along. Mm. But I don't know if I liked it. Huh. I don't know if I'd recommend it. I don't know. It's kind of like watching The Wicker Man.
Right.
Whether it's the old one or the Nick Cage version, you finish it and you're like, I don't know what just happened. Did I like that?
Right.
It was like, because it almost has a cultish feel. You know how you see high-end chefs and they say something and all their cooks go, yes, chef. Like, they do that a lot through this. Like, it's very, but it's even more cultish than that. Yeah. The following he has.
One of those, no matter what, that chef can't be wrong.
Right. And there are some things he should be wrong about in this movie. And they just follow along. Okay.
Okay.
That's all I'm gonna say about the menu. It's different. If you like that sort of cultishy feel to your horror movies. Mm-hmm. And of course, the satire of just these absolutely pretentious people getting what's really coming to them.
Right.
Is kind of satisfying. But yeah, there you go.
Well,
the menu.
Vicky and I did finish something that we mentioned last week, and hopefully, Kylan, did you watch through Jack Ryan yet?
No.
Oh,
I haven't had time, but I'm almost done.
You, how far along are you?
I think I'm halfway.
He's at least half. Maybe.
Well, it's 8 episodes, right? I think I'm at episode 5.
Okay. Because I'm not going to say anything about episodes past that, but in general, we've enjoyed the first 2 seasons of, all of us enjoyed the first 2 seasons of Jack Ryan. This is the Jack Ryan I didn't know I wanted. This makes it, by the time you get to the end of this, it's like, wow, this is what I wanted the whole time, not knowing this is what I wanted. It is your Cold War spy series that in modern day, all the way through to the end. I know you're already getting that feel from it.
But cause, I mean, one of the things that I'm loving about it, and maybe because earlier, well, like last year, I've watched The Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Is how some of this stuff goes back to late 60s Russia, the late 60s, early 70s Russia. And you just get this feel like that some of these people are still holding on to these ideals.
Oh, yeah.
Some people never let it go.
They never let it go. And you're like, okay. You know, and like,
I think
now, and so. Especially with what's going on in the Kremlin, because I'm at episode 5, I believe. So, yeah, what's going on in the Kremlin right now, I'm like, that's going to finish here, maybe tonight.
One thing I did like, you may be able to get to the end of 6 and take a breather.
Okay.
And then 7 and 8 is one long movie.
Oh, crap. Okay, great.
So go to 6, consider everything that's already gone on, and then move on to 7 and 8.
Well, hey, you got the day off tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
So, but yeah, like I said, this was the show I didn't know I wanted. It was amazing. This was the best season they've had of Jack Ryan yet out of the 3.
Oh. Well, you know, the fact
I got into the Middle East stuff and some of that, but this goes back to what we grew up on as spy stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, Jack getting burned and basically on his own, relying strictly on what he has. Basically, the number one weapon he has is his wits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and watching that and seeing all that, and at the same time, I'm loving, like, okay, the generally the character James Greer, at least in the books, he's acted at like almost like a father figure for Jack. But in this season, it's like James Greer has come into his own. Like, you don't want to cross James.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could tell that he's gotten where he is for a reason. With all the stuff that's going on within the CIA, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I'm getting drawn into that as well as what's going on with Jack right now. So,
well, the cool stuff with Greer is because we learned originally that that for a long time he was in charge of Russia. He worked in Moscow and Russia, and now in this season, that's what they're doing is working Russia and the Czech Republic. This is what he knows. Yes. This is what he's always been trained on.
So that's going to be done here soon, mm-hmm. and then yeah, I'll be ready to talk.
We
about
may
it.
Need to so, talk for a, actually in depth with it because yeah,
yeah,
because we may end up doing a whole spy show based on just watching this.
There you go.
Cool. But the nice thing, Jack Ryan, if anybody's wondering, the nice thing about it is, I would say, if nothing else, the one word that describes this in the world of the spy genre is believable.
Yes.
Everything in here you see him do is awesome, and it's all, wow, they're actually getting away with this stuff, but nothing is fantasy. Nothing is like James Bond with all the crazy tech and all that. No, it's all stuff that you can just pick up and use.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's what, wow, we've been doing this week. But Ms. Juan, you said you had some news stories coming up too, huh?
Yes, there were a few things. So there was some interesting news about the final season of Snowpiercer.
Okay.
Apparently, it is the latest victim of the Warner Brothers Discovery cost-cutting effort.
What?
The upcoming fourth and final season will not air on its existing home of TNT. Seemingly so that, you know, Warner Discovery gets a tax write-off. But the production company is reportedly shopping it around, as well as potential spinoffs, to a new home.
Okay.
So
Warner Brothers didn't make this one?
Huh?
Warner didn't make this one?
Well, technically, they're not the production company behind it.
Dead Matter was an in-house project.
No. It's never been. It's Tomorrow Studios that's done it. But... I mean, given the popularity of it and the audience it has, I don't think it'll have a problem getting home.
Right.
Is it already completed and filmed?
It sounds like it is. They didn't specify it in the article, but it sounds like it's being completed because it says they're shopping it around. So
yeah, because somewhere in January here is when it should have debuted or premiered, I think.
Yeah. Usually early in the year is when we get it. So it'll be interesting to see whether they can keep it on, you know, the lower end of cable so people can still access it.
Right.
Or if it'll go to streaming. I have a feeling we might end up on streaming and then a lot of people kind of get screwed over because they won't be able to see it.
Yeah. Right. Kind of like what they did with that final season of The Musketeers.
Yeah. It suddenly disappears. Like, then you feel like it disappears. You're like, wait, did they have a season?
Right.
What did I miss? So anyway, in more Warner Discovery news, Greg Berlanti has inked a massive new deal with them. So, you know, they're saving money one place and spending it another.
Yeah, I saw the headline for this and was a little surprised, but go ahead with that, then I can make comments.
He set up Berlanti Productions as a mini studio inside of Warner Brothers Discovery Television, and it links Berlanti with Warner at least through 2027. The deal is exclusive to television, and Berlanti is still set up at Netflix with a first look movie deal. At one point not long ago, because we all have watched at least some of the shows, Berlanti had more TV shows on the air at the same time than any producer in TV history.
Yeah.
Well, that was a total of 13 shows over 4 networks. The previous record was 8.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is, his old deal rewarded volume. This is why he was doing so many shows. The more shows he had on the air, the more he made.
Yeah.
The new deal is actually a partnership rewarding him based on the relative success of the shows he produces instead.
Okay.
Well, the thing was, because of the shows, the shows that he was making ended up success anyway because of the subject matter he was in. I mean, he had, 7 of those 13 shows were all superhero shows.
Right.
And all in one shared universe that had never been done in that scope before, in that scale.
Right. He made sure that, you know, there was a reason for people to watch them and a reason for him to get more shows.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because basically by having ones that, Arrow being the first, that being successful, he was allowed to spin something off. He's like, you know, we need some more characters. We need to do this one. We need to do this one. So they were open to it because, yeah, you're being successful. So
right.
And being a shared universe like that, you almost felt like sometimes for a lot of people felt you have to watch the whole thing to know the whole story.
Right.
Right.
Right. So the fact that now it's more a matter of the success than the number doesn't mean there will be a lower number for him because, like we've said, he's a success with them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever he takes, he might still do more spinoffs and more connected, universe kind of things.
Well, he's got a big one that's been in development for a while that should be out sometime soon if they're actually ready to go. Was he was working on that Green Lantern series,
right?
And that was supposed to go to HBO Max.
Right, so it's no longer HBO Max.
It's still HBO
it's
Max.
It's supposed to be going to HBO Max. Still. They've never said they're canceling that one. And with this new deal, that may be what he's focusing on. Because I think Gotham Knights, wasn't there a Gotham Knights series supposed to be coming?
There still is.
And
still
I don't know if that one's him or not.
I don't know if it is, because he tends to not do what you'd call kid stuff.
Yeah.
Too much. Like, and because it's a teen show that doesn't look good.
Right. Sure. I thought that one was actually supposed to be more, I mean, not adult, but actually more on the fare of what the Arrowverse stuff was, similar.
Right. No, it is Greg Berlanti as executive producer on that. Mm-hmm. They're saying the first episode will be this year.
Yeah. I think that was supposed to be a summer show originally.
Just recently, they had come out with images of, what's his name? Misha Collins. As Two-Face,
yes.
Because he's Harvey Dent, and they came out with like the Two-Face
kind of thing.
But yeah, so we'll see when we get that, and especially based on what else he's planning, because people haven't said good things about it so far based on the trailer.
Okay, I was looking at a couple, because he still does have a couple of superhero shows that have to finish up, because Titans was his and Doom Patrol are his also too on HBO Max.
Right.
So, I mean, those are finishing up. Titans has half a season left and they're done. I believe Doom Patrol, the season they're on right now, is supposed to be their finish.
Right.
So, at least they've let them finish on most of this. Most of them didn't just get cut out of nowhere and you're done.
True. The last thing I found about it was about Green Lantern was they're still talking about it in development.
Okay.
So,
I mean, the best we've seen about it was that clip at the end of Crisis on Infinite Earths where it actually showed Oa, kinda, sorta.
Yeah.
Right.
That was the best indication that he was still had it in his head that he wanted to do it.
Well, I mean, there was also that. When they end up not,
yeah, they going ended up swinging a different direction with it. Yeah, the Diggle thing.
Yeah,
yeah. When they ruined it when he had that last reveal.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he had everybody going for a while though.
He did. I mean, yeah, everyone was like, "Oh my god, it's green!"
And the rings are the only things that are green in the DC universe at all.
Yeah. In other comic related news. We've all heard of Mark Millar, a rather prolific comic book creator, and he has revealed new details regarding a crossover that will bring together multiple titles under his Millar World umbrella. It's called Big Time, and it's a crossover that will involve 24 of his franchise titles.
Oh my gosh.
Which is basically all his titles.
Right.
Yeah.
He said that our books over the next few months lead into a crossover which ties together all the Millar World franchises. There are actually 24 franchises altogether if you count series like Kick-Ass, Kingsman, and Hit Girl. So we're putting them in one mega story, bringing them all together.
That's going to be crazy.
That's going to be a hell of a crossover.
Like, oh my gosh.
He's paying attention to what Hasbro and IDW did.
Right. Exactly. Let's just,
everything Hasbro owns and put it all together.
Let's have the Transformers meet My Little Pony. Why not?
I say, wasn't My Little Pony part of that too?
Yeah. So illustrating Big Time is Pepe Larraz, the Marvel artist known for his work on House of X with Jonathan Hickman and X-Men with Jerry Duggan. So it's a big artist doing it, which is not surprising given who Millar is. And if this 24 franchise crossover wasn't enough, Millar is teasing new plans for a DC return to reunite with the familiar hero. He said, it might take me a year or two to get ahead of my schedule, but I'm 100% going to do another Superman story at some point.
Oh.
Well, since they have Black Label, he can do any story he wants now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big deal because Mark Millar's been, He's just kicking back and doing what he wants anyway, because he's got that big deal with Netflix and stuff. And right. He's just like, nah, whatever. And I actually have some theme park news. As a quickie, we actually got the opening date for Tron's Light Cycle Run at Magic Kingdom. The official opening date, there were teases for a bunch of different ones. They said spring, April 4th, like right at the beginning.
Okay.
Before the attraction officially opens, as usual, there will be special cast member previews and preview opportunities for guests, including annual pass holders and eligible vacation club members. And if you were, you know, if you did the right thing and watched the Disney Christmas parade on Christmas Day, you saw the preview of riding the actual ride and what it looks like and that kind of thing. So,
well, that's easy to do. You just put a camera on the front of the Shanghai one and run it.
No, this was the Florida one. And it wasn't just the ride through. It showed you all, you know, the look of everything and that kind of thing. So it was cool. In other theme park news, Universal is going to come up with a couple new parks.
Okay.
Universal Parks and Resorts is moving into the American Southwest. NBC Universal announced plans to construct two new theme parks, one in Texas and one in Nevada. The first is headed for Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Because Las Vegas needs a theme park. There's nothing to do there.
Right. Las Vegas is a theme park.
Right. It will be like the annual Halloween Horror Nights at the parks in Orlando and Hollywood, except all year round. So it's going to be a horror theme park.
Okay.
So coming to Vegas's Area 51 Entertainment District, which is big enough as it is, at an unspecified date, by the way. Of course, these are plans, so there's no date yet. The park is set to draw on the library of classic Universal monsters like Frankenstein, Dracula, the Mummy, and the Wolfman, and offer up modern horror and suspense stories through collaborations with filmmakers like Jason Blum, James Wan, and Jordan Peele.
Wow.
So I feel like it'll be like an immersive horror experience or something. That's the sort of thing it'll be, which is what you get when you go to the Halloween Horror Nights at the parks. They're basically people in costumes, and there is some storytelling involved. The second park is slated for the North Texas town of Frisco, and will apparently appeal more to families with small children, and there aren't a lot of details on it yet, but it will be smaller than the big parks in Orlando and Hollywood. In terms of branded lands within the park itself, the official release teases a completely different look, feel, and scale than Universal's existing parks and will appeal to a new audience for the brand, which sounds very confusing.
Yeah, say at least.
And it's basically a press release that tells you nothing.
Right.
Now, Universal is still doing things at the other parks. In Universal Orlando, they recently opened its first ever escape room. And there are two experiences, one of them based on Jurassic World and one of them based on Back to the Future. Hmm. So, and Universal Studios Hollywood is actually preparing for the grand opening of their Super Nintendo World next month. So they've always stuff going on.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I was looking up and I'm sure that Frisco, Texas is just on the north side of Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, wait, Frisco, Texas, where in the world is that? Is there anything near it? It's like, oh yeah, you're on Dallas. Okay. So it's going to be Universal Dallas.
That's just it. They're going to be, you know, close enough to a big city. Kind of like, you know, technically Walt Disney World is its own thing near Kissimmee. It's not really Orlando, but it's close enough to Orlando, you know?
Well, even here locally for us, Sandusky Cedar Point is almost dead center between Detroit and Cleveland.
Right. Like it basically gives the parks an amount of space that they need. Plus it allows them to put in hotels and such so that people have an excuse. Like we can go for the day if we're from Dallas, or we can stay there for a couple nights.
Right.
You know,
that's why they like to call them resorts.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, there'll be hotels, there'll be shops, there'll be restaurants as usual with all that. And now to television series. We know there's a D&D movie coming out at the end of this quarter. Because we talked about it last week. Paramount Plus has announced an 8-episode first season of a Dungeons & Dragons live-action TV series in conjunction with Hasbro.
So now we know where it's going to be. They've been talking about this series ever since they even announced the movie, that they were working on a TV series also.
Apparently, though, it has nothing to do with the movie, so don't worry about that. Yeah.
But are you saying Dungeons & Dragons could tell more than one story?
I know, amazingly, you know, because the movie is done by Paramount Pictures.
Right.
So it's zero surprise that it's ending up on Paramount Plus.
Right.
Because if they already own the rights, where are we going to show it?
Mm-hmm.
Red Notice director Ross and Marshall Thurber penned and directed the pilot episode. Interestingly, the D&D series initially had John Wick creator Derek Kolstad attached to write the script when it was first announced back in 2021. And a year later, it revealed that Thurber had taken over, but gave no explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, writers switch up all the time. It's not like we need an explanation unless it's super dramatic and we really want to know. It doesn't matter. So besides doing this D&D series, Thurber has another live action adaptation in the works based on the animated series Voltron.
Ooh.
Oh.
Wait, I think that's the first I've heard of that one. Wait a minute. We can't let that go by.
I have no other details on that. That's all that was mentioned in this article because it was about the D&D show.
Don't just throw that out there.
I know.
Live action Voltron.
I know.
That's why I had to mention it.
And the thing is, the way Voltron is, how well known and loved it is, they better get it right.
Right.
The other one, I mean,
maybe that's why they've been building that robot in Japan that actually walks. Yes.
Well, you know,
because they're going to use it in the show.
True.
Hey, if they can get Voltron, then I want to see Robotech.
Hey, you know, and there's been so much talk about Robotech. Now, I know that there's a live-action Star Blazers or a Battleship Yamato.
I've heard it technically exists, but that's about as far as there is. That's all you're worth seeing.
I've seen it. It's good.
It is?
Cool. It is good, yes. It is different, mind you, but it's good, you know. So because the thing is, you have to understand that story is huge,
yeah.
And to try and to get all that into one movie, they do what they can. I liked it.
Well, that
and it just made me want Robotech even more.
Well, that would be the problem with Robotech is that especially the Generation One story is so huge. What part of it do you tell?
Right,
you tell this part where the very beginning where the Zentradi show up. But where does the story stop?
Right.
So apparently last year in March and April, it was big news that there was going to be a live action Voltron movie. There's been nothing since then changing it to series.
Okay.
This is the same director. So this is his story. And last year, March, April, it was a movie that was going to be on Amazon.
Okay.
So there's been no change to update it to say series, even though, like I said, this article that I found about D&D mentioned series.
Well, we won't know until we get to it.
Exactly.
I mean, look at back over Lucasfilm, the Obi-Wan series started off as a movie.
That's true.
Right.
And so did Armor Wars. Was it Armor Wars?
Armor Wars, that was going to be a movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends. Not only what story you want to tell, but how much money you can get out of the one supporting it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it's sci-fi.
And not just Hollywood, but film and television and media in general has changed so much that television series or movie is almost interchangeable anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like, do you want to sit down and watch an 8-hour movie? No. Do you want to sit down and watch 8 1-hour segments that are all interconnected? Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Streaming has changed things so much that the episodic storytelling where they're fully self-contained episodes is not as common as it used to be with this type of show. Sitcoms still do them, but
it's more of a network TV thing. You get your police procedurals and the legal shows and stuff like that. But the thing is, you can't do that with most sci-fi fantasy kind of stuff because like you have to know, like even when you had the show Grimm,
right?
That was technically episodic, but you really had to follow along the mythology and why he could do this and why these creatures were there,
right?
And after the first couple seasons of Supernatural, it became the same thing,
right?
you know, technically episodic, but if you didn't know the background of the brothers and what was going on, you were going to be lost.
Right.
Well, you can go all the way back to the mid-90s with Joss Whedon with the Buffy universe, Buffy and Angel. Both of those were episodic for half a minute, then all of a sudden the whole season was one big story.
Right. And it's kind of like you need that with the fantasy and sci-fi stuff, though, because there are actual mythologies they are built on, you know, and deeper stories. Whereas, like, you know, you get something like Law and Order, you get the personal stories of some of these characters, but they're kind of irrelevant to what goes on in every episode.
Right.
But
exactly.
The difference being also you build a rabid fan base that way.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't see a whole lot of Law and Order or CSI or any of those other ones having their own conventions.
Well, but they have a lot of fans, you know, you just have to be 60.
Exactly. Hey, wait a minute. I know some people that are getting close to there.
The over 60 crowd doesn't tend to get into going to conventions because that's too much walking around.
That's fair. That is fair.
Hey, they need someone to push their wheelchair otherwise.
Conventions are rascal friendly.
Right? There you go. They need wide open space. There's only like a dozen actual booths at the convention because they need so much space for all the wheelchairs and rascals.
You know what? If this is the one thing that gets us comments and feedback, then that's awesome.
We are not trying to get canceled over that.
Hey,
we're just
try it. You can't cancel us. We do this on our own.
Hey, I see people going around the grocery store on the little automatic shopping carts they have there now, and they can definitely walk. So there are some rather young people using those things that just
that
decide they don't want to walk around a grocery store.
Sometimes you're just too tired. You got to go for a ride.
you just got to go pick up that mac and cheese and that frozen pizza, and you don't want to walk over to the freezer section again.
You got to pick up your Hot Pockets.
Get those Hot Pockets. That's right. Those pizza rolls, the pizza rolls. That's what you need.
There you go.
Oh my God. Okay. So my last actual story, is also long awaited series news. Last week, John Landgraf, the chairman of FX Content and Productions, gave an overall update on their upcoming slate of 23 series in 2023, including the status of Noah Hawley's Alien series that we've been hearing about for a few years. Now, unfortunately, the series will not be one of the 23 shows slated to premiere this year, partly because Hawley is involved in the fifth season of Fargo, and he is showrunner and director. And that's also what he plans to be for the Alien series, so that's one of the difficult ones to juggle. It's not just an easy switch to go to multiple shows when you're doing those kind of roles.
Right.
But Landgraf did confirm that Hawley has written all the scripts for the season of the Alien series, and they have been read and reviewed by the studio, which is a massive first step to getting to production.
Mm-hmm.
So officially, as the production on Fargo winds down, the Alien series is now in active pre-production.
Okay.
See, I didn't know Fargo was still going.
Yeah. I mean, I've never watched it aside from the movie, so.
See, I've never seen the movie yet.
Landgraf said Hawley's meeting with the production designer now, and it starts production this year. With that timeline, it's very likely we will see it next year. Because even though it's an alien movie, a lot of the effects are practical. We know that from the movies.
Right.
And that. So for the series, there'll likely be a lot of practical stuff. Plus, it's not in space. So they don't need a lot of spacey effects.
No.
This will be the first live-action alien story to take place on Earth.
Okay.
And it is set before Ripley encounters the xenomorphs in the film.
Okay.
Wait. They've had aliens on Earth before. The Alien versus Predator movies were both on Earth.
Technically, that's not considered an alien story, though.
Oh, well. Yeah, that's it was a predator story, except he was hunting aliens. Yeah.
And technically, it's prequel, so, you know, happened before that ever existed. So, I mean, obviously, it'll give you completely different characters. You may get a young Ripley. You may find out how she got to the status she was, how the characters we get in the original Alien movie get to where they are. there's really no details in terms of the date versus the date of the first movie.
Right.
Yeah.
In terms of like the androids we see, you know, that kind of thing, the development of the androids, the development of whatever's going on in the actual space exploration and any, you know, insider knowledge, which I'm sure there's going to be sketchy characters who know something's going on.
Well, you got to think, if you think back to the original Alien movie, though, really, I don't know, without doing some retconning, I don't know how you could get like a Ripley or some of the other characters from there. Because remember, in the first movie, they had no idea what they were dealing with. They had never even heard of the concept of one of these aliens.
Well, yeah, but you could get it in terms of just seeing their start for training, like without mentioning Alien. Like the Alien thing could happen on another level with the sketchy characters, who, like probably in government, who know something's going on.
Right.
And like, we have to send people out there. Let's train these people.
Right.
And so they do that with those people not knowing.
Right.
You know.
And maybe the end of this sets up the aliens on the ship. If they don't know, then they're sent there, not knowing that that's what's there, even though they were sent there to do it. Because if you watch the movies, the corporation is sketchy to start with. They don't care. People are expendable. The alien is not.
Very true. And the other thing is, he actually talked about Holly in a previous interview a while back, talked about how, you know, you have your one main corporation that's involved in these movies. There has to be more than one of those corporations on Earth. So you've got competitors.
Right.
So you're going to have other stuff happening with those competitors and what's going on and who knows what and that kind of thing too.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it says that it's a story that takes place on Earth. It doesn't say it stays on Earth.
Right.
So, you know, it's a prequel, but it could go into, you know, a mission. Maybe there was a mission that got lost and they had this same encounter too, and no one survived. So they didn't know what happened.
Right.
They may skip if the first alien goes straight to aliens and it's, and that's how they know where that crash is at the mining facility.
Right.
Maybe that crash was not an alien ship. It was actually one of ours.
Right. There you go. There you go. There's a lot of possibilities. And if you know Noah Hawley and some of his other work, it's not going to be straightforward. It's going to be mind trippy. It's going to be deep. And I mean, quite honestly, one of my favorite shows of the past whatever years was his take on the X-Men. Why can I not think of this?
Oh, you're talking about the
I can't think of the name of it now. The X-Men, the Xavier's son.
Oh, you're talking about,
I can see him. I can see,
not Weapon X or Mutant, I know what you're talking about. It's the FX series with the, with it.
Yeah.
I don't remember off the top of my head, but we can move on. Everybody knows what we're talking about because they're screaming at their phones and stuff.
Legion.
Yeah.
I had the L in my head and I could not get the word. Like that is one of the best crazy superhero shows that's around. And just knowing him from that, what he could do with Alien would be something.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I got.
So that's all the news that needs to be known, huh?
At the moment, anyway, unless you care to talk about the new Ant-Man trailer came out like right after we recorded last week.
I don't want to know. I've seen the trailers. I need to know.
Okay, so I did watch it because, you know me, I was not going to watch it, but then of course all these blog posts came out with what you see in the trailer. So I'm like, well, I know anyways, I may as well watch the trailer. So you get a brief flash of MODOK for the first time, which is not news to anyone now. And we know who plays MODOK. So there's plenty of questions about how MODOK came to be now.
Right.
Because now we know he's played by the same one who played, what's he called, Hornet or Yellow Jacket?
Yellow Jacket, yeah.
We know MODOK is the same actor who played Yellow Jacket. So obviously he has to have been Yellow Jacket. They're not going to throw him in there as the character.
No.
And it not be him. And we know Yellow Jacket shrunk to supposedly disappearing. He was defeated by Ant-Man.
Yeah, we know that doesn't exist. It doesn't happen because you end up in the Quantumverse.
Exactly. And now we know the Quantumverse. We know they're visiting the Quantumverse, and boom, we get MODOK. Seriously, it's a 1 second flash in the trailer. But it's worth it. It'll be kind of amazing to see. Like they've made this ridiculous character look believable. And the other thing people are getting out of this new trailer, they're convinced that Scott's gonna die.
No.
And I'm like, that would be a little too obvious. Like they are giving you a lot of things with like, well, you know, I may not win, but that means we're both gonna lose and all this. And he's like, I would have changed things and I'm sorry. And like, there's a lot of I'm sorry from Scott in this trailer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that makes it a little too obvious that he could die. Marvel doesn't do that.
Right. Yeah.
Like they're giving this to you. Someone else is gonna die. They're giving this.
Mm-hmm.
Like Michael Douglas. My God, sorry, right. Michael's. Michael Douglas is gonna die. That's my prediction. The original Ant-Man's gonna die.
Yeah, I mean, he survived because he was really close to dying in the first one. I had a feeling he was going to...
And now he's doing the quantum thing. I think he's going to die.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
Oh, we'll find out. It may be him and Michelle Pfeiffer both.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know Kang survives because, you know, we've got a lot of movies with him.
Well, you never know. Because of being Kang, this Kang could die. It's not the last Kang, but...
I'm saying Kang in general.
Oh,
survive.
Okay.
Right.
Because isn't Kang got a whole bunch of clones and stuff?
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing about variants. I mean, if you watch Loki, you got the whole explanation of who Kang is at the very end.
Right.
So it's like, he could die in this.
If you don't remember, go watch the end of Loki. Even if you don't watch the whole series again, though, it's worth watching again.
Right.
Yeah. Go watch the end, get the whole explanation, then you'll get it.
Star Wars and Marvel have both got to the point where it's hard to go back and do a rewatch because there's so much to rewatch.
But the other thing is, Disney Plus does this awesome thing called Marvel Legends.
Yeah.
Right before a movie comes out, you get mini episodes telling you about the character in the MCU.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There will be a Kang one. There'll be Ant-Man. There'll probably be Wasp. Maybe it'll be together. And there'll be Kang.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Right.
So right before the movie comes out, go watch that. It'll probably take you less than 10 minutes. It's worth it for every movie just to remind yourself what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing is there's so much going on outside of that one movie.
Yeah.
So, okay, so that you said that's all we got for today?
That's all I've got, unless you want to talk about something else.
That's all I had going. So, but Geeksters, we covered a whole bunch of stuff in this episode. So, what did you like? Are you ready for Ant-Man and Wasp Quantumania to come out? Or anything else we covered today? Well, let us know. You can get a hold of us at www.geekwatch1.com. Anywhere, everywhere, all social media, we are GeekWatch1. If you put GeekWatch1 into a search bar and don't find us, let us know and Ms. Dawn will take care of the problem.
Because I'm everywhere.
That's right. And she means that. You can also email us, geekwatch1@gmail.com. We are proud members of the Tangent Bound Network at tangentboundnetwork.com and the Weeby Geeks Podcast Collective at weebygeekspc.com. You can also check out our buddy Charlie Murphy over at Stray Dog Akron for the Stray Dog hot dogs, the sauerkraut balls, the Cafe 388. He's got everything. Anything you want in the way of local restaurateurs, you'd find Charlie Murphy. And he should be able to ship anywhere, at least in the U.S.
And he caters.
Yes. You got a party coming up in the Northeast Ohio area? Get a hold of him. StrayDogAkron.com. But other than that, for Dawn and Kylan and myself, just remember,
no matter where you go,